starts to get colder. But for those that are excited about global warming, today probably doesn't make them think that way. You know, I have about at least 20 copies of this verse that I'm going to send to my member of my family especially. And anyway, it says in the third book of the third epistle of John, in the fourth verse, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I thought, I don't know that that verse or that thought pattern was really a biggie, a big one for me or anything over the years. But now it has become the objective. And anyone that is a minister, and I don't mean just that a minister of a church, but I mean anyone that is going to preach the gospel, if this is not their objective, they're in the Matthew 7 group somewhere. I have no greater, is that true? I have no greater joy. Now, lest we think that that's all that John had to say, let's turn to the second epistle. The elder, or the elect unto the elders, elder, elect lady and her children, just the church, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwells in us, and shall be with us forever, grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4 again. In the second epistle, I rejoiced greatly when I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment of the Father. What is God's command? What is the command? Walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. You know what? It is saturated over and over and over everywhere you look in the Bible. God's will is for men to walk in the truth. That's God's will. And now, I'm not sure that everybody that gets one of the little the pictures and the little edition that I'm going to have with it, I'm not so sure that everybody is going to be all excited about walking in the truth, or maybe some think they do already have it, but I have a feeling about it. It's one of these strange things, like it may be an incentive for some of those that we love and some that love me to get a hunger for the truth. The devil is a liar. And so the devil has come up with all kinds of things and he has planted it within the churches. He did that with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the lawyers and the scribes, and none of them agreed with each other. What they believed to be the truth was different, almost without exception. They weren't all right. One of the philosophies that is rampant today is that this is our truth. and God will honor it. Well, this and this here, we don't agree, but this is our truth, and God will honor it. You know what? I find nothing in the Scripture to tell me that. There's only one thing God is going to honor. His truth. His truth. And so when it tells us in John 17:17, it says, sanctify them or separate them through your truth. It took me a while to understand what he was saying. God's truth is the only truth that is right and is different than all these other things that people call truth. So if we want to be separated unto God, we have to be separated unto him by his truth. Separate them through your truth. Your word is truth. And so a long time ago, I had an understanding, and the understanding was that truth is what God meant by what he said. Not what me or anybody else came up with and said, well, this is the truth. I've had a lot of truths over the years that were off kilter. A lot of things that I've believed. But you know what? There's one truth that will always, you know, heaven and earth will pass away. But God's truth will never pass away. No matter what else happens, God's going to burn everything up. But there's one thing that's going to remain. And it's not the pages of this book. It's what's contained in this book. God's word is forever and ever. And God wants to write this word in our minds and on our hearts. And we will become living epistles of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of what God is. In the first few verses of the third epistle, here's how this one starts out. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. How many times has he alluded to the word truth in the first four or five verses of these two epistles? Why is it that so many ignore it? Why is it? Because the revelation has not come their way yet. I didn't start out this way a couple of weeks ago. But as I read this verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Guess what? That is becoming who I am. And that's becoming who you are. You want your children to walk in the truth. You want your... Not just their, you know, bloodline, but I'm saying those that you've witnessed to, those that are part of your family. And you know what? I have no greater joy to hear that we begin to, that we're walking in the truth, God's way. Does that make that, you understand what I just said? And before God's through with us, we'll all be in that place. Well, I had a shoulder so sore yesterday that I couldn't move it, and today it's fine, so... It could have been better. That was even a nice way to put it.
didn't really feel like getting up, and I was looking up scriptures, and this just kind of came, you know, because of what Keith was talking about in 1 John 3. We are God's children. The Father has loved us so much. This shows how much He loved us. We are called children of God. And we really are His children. But the people of the world don't understand that we are God's children because they have not known Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. We have not yet been shown what we will be in the future. But we know that when Christ comes again, we will be like Him. We will see Him just as He is. He is pure, and everyone who has the hope in Him keeps themselves pure like Christ. So it went in to me, it just kind of confirmed in a sense, Keith talking about his children and that we are God's children. All of us are God's children. And the Father, He just loves us so much and that He just wants us to know.
I'm a little handicapped, but I'm not shy. As soon as we got up, something really dawned on me. As she got up here with her cell phone, and I thought, you know, we've talked about the Wonder Bible and how that it's not here by accident. God has made sure that this thing is saturated throughout the nation, at least America, I probably all over the world, I don't know. And it's a strange little thing, and it's in a strange translation, almost without exception, for what reason, I don't know. But it's almost the King James English, which is, you know. But God, it doesn't matter what dialect it's in, the Holy Spirit knows all of them. You know what I mean? And He can give the understanding and revelations to people, even if it's not a real familiar language or something that people maybe don't like. But as soon as he got up, all of a sudden, God put me past the, what do they call that little Bible?
Wonder Bible.
The Wonder Bible. Into a much greater realm of what He is, what He has done. What is it? The cell phone. Not only can you find the scriptures on the cell phone, you can find translations on the cell phone, and our beloved but Corky sits in the back here. I had to use that because that's what Paul said, Gaius. But anyway, he has an ability to get on his phone and find just about anything related to the Christian circles there is. And you know what? He's the only one in the whole world that can do that.
Wow.
How many other tens of thousands of people have that opportunity? On the day of judgment, what will be their excuse? I didn't have a Bible. Oh, really? I didn't have access to it. Oh, really? But you had access to everything else you wanted on that phone. And you know what I'm thinking right now? Whether I'm right or not, I'm wondering how many people are kind of bothered by the fact that they have access to God's Word to the phone and don't take advantage of it. I'm expecting to see some awesome things happen. You know, in the first, the second epistle here, you know, in 1 John, the fourth chapter, and John says, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then he said, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Well, anyway, in the second epistle, in the seventh verse, it says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That was already there. Why? And here's the answer. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And so when we see things that remove the flesh of Jesus Christ from the scene, co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, where does the flesh fit in? Does anybody understand what I just said? Where was the flesh? That is the working of the Antichrist. And how subtle and how good is he at what he does? I don't mean good, I just mean he does it well. So he's got a whole world system that basically is kiddy-wampus. Because and they've listened to the devil and ignored the word of God. You know, Jesus said, and I was thinking about that in relationship to the church. He told them, they said, remember the story they gave that they were trying to give to Jesus? They said, well, this under Moses' law, if a man is married to a woman and he dies, his brother's supposed to marry her. You know, and so forth. And he gives us this. And so they said, well, now, if she was married to all seven of these brothers and they died, whose wife would she be? And he made a statement afterwards. And he said, you neither know the scriptures or the power of God. And I thought, what is the problem that we face? What is the problem within the churches? People neither know the scriptures or the power of God. Is there a relationship? To know the scriptures is going to cause a power of God existence. The power of God will come. Jesus told us in Acts 1:8, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. But you know what the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:17? It says, take the sword of the Spirit. When the Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. In Ephesians it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the private interpretations of the church. Nobody bought that, did they? You didn't even buy that, did you, Chuck?
No.
He said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, what do we need? So, he told him, he said, they need to know the Scriptures nor the power of God. So, is it the right relationship with the Word of God, the answer, rather than a relationship with the doctrines and the customs and the theologies and the theories and the whatever it is that the church tries to promote? Of course it is. Anyway. Don't be bashful.
in a way of a testimony, I want to thank all of you who have been praying for my little endeavor. Lots of positive things are happening.
Good.
And in true God the quirky fashion, the promise is always good. The real measurables are very small and tiny, and you just have to keep faith that this is going to get to where we'd like it to go. But it appears that I've got to travel and go to a show and do some things and talk about what I'm supposedly doing. And the big company is continuing to say positive things,
good,
both to me and the people about me. So, you know, thank God for all he's doing. Thank you for your prayers in that regard. You know, Keith has been talking about this verse about, you know, he has no greater joy than his children to follow him. And, you know, not being a father, I thought he was totally missing the importance of that verse, because he kept bringing it back to flesh, and I kept thinking spirit, you know. And then, unbeknownst to me, my wife gets up and reads quite a bit more, and, you know, or, you know, we are talking about God and us. And I've been listening to that scripture and combining it with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation. I've been kind of like, okay, this is really important, and it's my salvation, you know. And I get the heart of parents and fathers and mothers wanting to see their children walk right with God. So in no way am I being contrarian to it. Keith has brought just my walk has put it, and I had a different slant on that. Because I, you know, I think, you know, what it's saying there is clearly talking about God and us on an individual level. That said, there is no greater joy than knowing friends and family and that they're walking upright. I've been here for many years and have heard testimony after testimony about how parents have been praying for their children and for God to come in their life and for them to be able to walk in that and to feel good in that God is doing that. So I think that's it's when there's a scripture that works on both levels at the same time and has an impact, it's an important scripture. And I think this one clearly is. Also, just wanted to remind or come back to the body ministry that we have in this church. It's encouraging to me every day. I'm blessed to go over and have an opportunity to talk to Keith from time to time and hear how he and Chuck talk about elusive bucks that only one of them gets to see at a time. And it's encouraging because I see the love for one another, and I see, you know, the focus on continuing to see what the Word is doing in their lives. And it just reinforces me. We talk about signs and miracles and forget that, you know, even Jesus made the comment, you know, that these things were done so you might believe, because he was trying to help people overcome their lack of faith. You know, nothing really fires up your faith than to see a miracle. And even now, if I'm present and I see a miracle, it does lift up my faith. You know, I pray to get to the place where that is not a requirement, that my faith is steadfast, not without signs, but just the Holy Spirit and my love for the truth. That's where I'm trying to get to. Miracles help, though, because I'm not there yet. But God is good. And it's amazing to me as I just step back and watch what has been going on. It's just an encouragement to me. It's just an encouragement to me that God has not given up on us.
No.
He's here all the time. Just so we have to be tuned in to know when it really is God.
Yeah, morning after morning, Chuck and I are involved in Corey called an elusive buck. And I'll tell Chuck, I just saw this big buck out back. He'll look and he never sees it. I told him this morning, I said, you have to see it through the eyes of your imagination. But anyway, we laugh. We have a lot of fun over that. He knows I don't really see one, but but once in a while he'll look out and he'll say, I see him, I see him. He's, you know, so he's making it up as much as I was. But we don't see what God sees. And this, you know, as old as I am, I'm going to send this to a couple of people that are older than me. And so the children part does not mean age. It doesn't mean even family. And it didn't mean family to John either. You know what I mean? It meant, but truth is an issue. And you know what? If we believe that truth is an issue, we are a rare kind. There are people that are not here right now. Because when I started talking about the Bible and began to understand truth was important, in their minds, truth is not important. If we will get together and we can believe all kinds of different things, and we get together and just worship the Lord, I mean, that's all God is concerned about. There may have been a day when I thought that too. I thought it until I started hearing the word, the scriptures. And as I listened to it, I realized that truth is an issue. Because they received not a love for the truth, they couldn't be saved. I didn't make that up. It took me a long time before I found it. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Does that mean what it says? Do you suppose it means that? Yes, it does. Anyway.
I wasn't planning on sharing this, but anyways, my lady called me to look at a job, and as I almost feel like I know in anticipation if I'm what kind of job it's going to be and if I'm going to get the job, even just by the tone of people's voices. Most times, I'm right every other time. Anyways, you know, so then I look at the house. It's a little house. She doesn't have money to afford this expensive tile. Anyways, that's not even the point. So we're talking about what she wants done, and she can't even get a whole word out without, I don't know what the word is, like moaning, like, oh. Is that morning? Okay. Like, almost like it's as she was walking on fire. You know, and then, obviously, she needed to make it known why she was doing that. If not, you know, it would be uncomfortable. So, and she explained to me some, she was doing, I don't know what, some painting or removing of something. And she hurt her back or something. Anyways, and she couldn't, and she has so much pain that she threw up. I don't even know if that makes sense. And, it does it? Okay. Anyways, and she couldn't take pain medicine because she takes another medicine, that if she takes the pain medicine, I don't know, she just couldn't. And then so we're talking about tile, and then she's moaning, and like, oh, and she's sitting, we're in the bathroom, so she's sitting on the toilet, you know, because she, and she's motioning with her back, and I'm like, this is so uncomfortable, it's just so uncomfortable. For her, but I was uncomfortable, you know, she was the one in pain, and I was still uncomfortable. And I'm like, man, if I claim to believe a fraction of what I claim to believe, I have to pray for this lady. I have to lay hands on this lady. There's just no way. I mean, there's just no way. Anyways, so in the middle, you know, we were not done talking, but I told her, you know, what do you do for your pain? And she's like, this and that, and nothing really. I said, do you ever pray? Yeah, she said, no. And she can't even make eye contact with me. She's so much pain. I don't know why she even kept the appointment. Anyway, so and at this point, I didn't even care if she was offended by me because, honestly, I wasn't even interested if I got the job or not. It wasn't this kind of job that I really wanted to get. So I thought, I have nothing to lose. I'll just tell this lady, hey, I asked her, do you want me to pray for you? And I don't think she said yes, but she was in so much pain, she kind of motioned, asking like, yeah, like it's no, okay, basically, yeah. So I did. And Ken was with me. He was outside waiting in the truck. And I wanted to go get Ken, you know, so we can both pray. But you know, the whole situation, I didn't want to go outside. Okay, Ken, this is what's happening. Let's go in. I didn't want to make a big deal about it. Anyway, so I just, I prayed for the lady and I just pray for her, you know, and I really meant it because I really didn't want her to be in pain. I don't know if you ever, I don't think I ever seen someone in pain like that. I know I've seen like, I don't know, I've never seen anybody whining so much about their pain in my life, never. So I really meant, you know, Father, I don't know what, I just prayed. Anyways, she texted me yesterday of something about tile, and I don't remember. She said I still have some pain, blah blah blah. She didn't say nothing about the prayer really, and I answered her, oh, okay, you know, I'm still praying for you, which I was. And there's some tile stuff. But anyways, I just want to thank God that the things worked so I could pray for her at least. You know, I don't know. And like I was sharing last week, I don't know if it was here or at other men's meeting, but, you know, when Jesus did his first miracle, not only Jesus changed. He went from, you know, pre-miracle Jesus to post-miracle Jesus. But at that time, also his surroundings changed. They had to change in order for Jesus to be able to do what he had to do. You know, he could be a miracle worker, but you know what? There's no sick people that he can do it, or if people are not in the area where Jesus is, it won't work either. So not only things have to change in us, but things have to change also in the world for us to exercise the power that we've been talking about. So anyways, and it doesn't necessarily have to happen like from a dorm situation to a explosion. It can be gradual. It doesn't have to be huge, when years ago, you know, I wasn't here, but, you know, all of a sudden there was no deliverance, and then there was deliverance. It was like white, black to white. It doesn't have to be always black to white. It can be a gradual thing anyways. I don't know what's happened to the lady. I really pray that she feels back. I've never seen anything like that. And suppose we could pray at the end for this lady. And if I get the job, job is not a fun job to do. But if I get it, I'll be glad to do it. And hopefully, you know, this will be a testimony. I did mention in the prayer, Father, show her, you know, that you're real, that you're real. That was the biggest part of the prayer. I never met this lady before, I know nothing about her, but that's it.
Why don't we come up to the front?